Amen.
Awesome. Yeah. Now, was that an amazing worship session? Yeah. Okay, I thought so too. I wasn't sure if it was just that God was already touching me because of all the of how I was interacting with him when I came, you know, probably maybe both, but thank you, that was amazing. Okay, so we can put my slides up. That would be lovely. Okay, so I'm going to start with a story. We're talking about creation and connecting with God in creation. That's the important part of this, is the connecting with God part. So when I was, I think, 23, it was, I was married, we'd moved to Chippenham, we were part of Dayspring, but we hadn't had children yet. It was around 23. I was still struggling with my value as a person, you know, in the way that teenagers do. I was still struggling with, am I a valuable person? You know, that question. And part of the reason for that was that I'd been taught at church to believe that it doesn't matter if you're clever or beautiful or rich or, you know, all these worldly things. That doesn't matter. Only the fact that God loves you matters. And that's the only sort of value you have, if that makes sense. And that's fine, and theologically accurate, I would say. But what the world had taught me, what school and media, I suspect, had taught me, is that you have to be the best at something to be worthwhile, you know? And I was quite clever, and I think that made it worse, you know, because I was in top set for everything, and the teachers get pushy with top set kids, and because they want to get their grades out of them, I feel there's something very selfish about teachers teaching top set kids sometimes. when Meg did her mocks in the autumn, she got a lot of good grades, and she got a 7 in chemistry. Okay, a 7 is what used to be an A. So it's a really good grade. You can get an 8 or a 9 these days as well, so it can get higher. And we were at a parents' evening of some sort, and she said to her chemistry teacher, Dr. Ford, yeah, I didn't even revise for that. And her teacher was so rude to her. Well, I'd like to see what you can get when you do revise. She was like personally offended that Meg hadn't revised that subject, you know. And I thought, oh, anyway, so sorry, that's an aside. So I was still, struggling with my identity. So the world was telling me that I had to be the best at something. The church was telling me it was only because God loves me. But then something else had happened in my head. Because I have loving parents, and they were telling me they love me all the time, I had come to this conclusion that parents just love you because they have to love you. You know? It's not really about you. And I felt the same about God. God loved me because God is loving. So how can I get my worth out of that? Do you see what I mean? I was stuck in this bad place. And so here I was at 23, married, and I had a career, and, you know, all that education stuff was now behind me, and now I was trying to figure out, well, who am I now? You know, that was a transition before I became a mum, all that kind of thing. And I was on a weekend break in the New Forest. So one of our friends, Claire, she was a brownie leader. She'd been a brownie leader since she was in brownies. And so she was a member of the Scout Association. And so this meant that the six of us, three couples, could go and camp in the Scout Association campsite in the New Forest, which was absolutely beautiful. I don't think there was anyone else there this weekend that we were there, you know. If they were, they were so far away, we didn't know. And here we were. I think it was early September or even late September, but it was still warm. But the trees were just starting to turn a little bit. And at church, we were reading A Purpose-Driven Life. I say that now, okay, the core team are not good. People who know me well are not going to be surprised. I did not read the whole book. Okay. Partly because I got to page 2 or whatever it was, session 2, week 2, day 2. I'm not sure if it was a weekly thing or a daily thing. I can't remember. But I was reading that in this beautiful morning. All my friends and Paul were still asleep. And we were cooking on an open fire the whole weekend. It was early morning, and I'd stirred up the fire and put some more kindling on, and I reignited the fire. That's a fun game to play. Anyway, that was lovely. And the birds were singing, and it was, you know, beautiful sunrise, sunshine going on. And I was reading this book, Purpose Driven Life, and page 2, or whatever it is, talks about how God chose you specifically. Not just chose you, he chose the parents you would have, your genetic parents, to get the right genetic material to make just you, you know, because he had an idea of you and he made that idea come true. And you're not an accident. I remember it saying, you know, you are not an accident. Your parents might have thought you were an accident. No, I know mine didn't. Lots of people do. Lots of parents do think their children are accidents, but you are not an accident to God. You know, and it wasn't the words so much as the connection with God. It was the Holy Spirit. And I felt like not only did God choose all those things, all my generations back, all those ancestors that have come together to make me because he wanted me, but he'd also... he'd planted these trees and he'd made these birds to sing for me. And, you know, I just felt God saying, no, I really do love you specifically. It's not just because I am a loving person, you know. And so there were some other things that God did with me. You know, I learned that actually... even though, yeah, God loves everyone equally, that's because God is big. And, you know, I was made by God, and that sounds fine. But until you realize how good God is at making things, you know, that really makes you valuable. So here, that was probably the most powerful moment I've had in creation. And I'm sure the creation was the point of that, not the words. There have been some other powerful moments. I was much younger. I was, I think, 14 or 15, the only time I went to Greenbelt Festival with the Anglican Church, with St Mary's from Maidenhead. And I say that because Pam and John were from that church as well. And we were at Greenbelt, all very smelly. It was a really hot summer, and I wanted some time out. I took my Bible, and I went and found a lovely big tree and sat in the shade of this tree, leaning up against the tree. And there was some rock music playing in the distance, you know, and it was this 90s. It was the 90s then. This 90s song that I don't remember the rest of it, but it goes, yeah, yeah, you drop dead gorgeous. Do you remember that one? No. Well, it doesn't matter. But that was the trigger for me to then... I was already feeling this beautiful breeze on me. I could hear some bees buzzing, you know. It was... there was that moment of connecting with God. And, yeah, God is so awesome. I think it says in the Bible somewhere, doesn't it? That if you saw... yeah, when he's talking, he's meeting Elijah, is it? Up the mountain... and he's not in the storm, and he's not in the gale, and he's not in the, not in the lightning or whatever it is, but he's in the still small voice. And God puts him in a crevice, and he puts his hand over him as he passes by, because if you saw me, you would die. Oh, God, you are drop-dead gorgeous. You know, I just had one of that. It was just this amazing, yeah, actually you are. This could have been written about you. And then there was another one. What was the other one? Oh, yeah. I'm not a mountains person. I'm a woodlands and sitting in the shade of trees kind of person, and valleys in general, you know. But Paul is a mountains person. And so I have trudged up some mountains with him in our 20 years together. And most of the time, mountains don't do much for me. But we were going up Snowdon. This was just before I got pregnant with Meg, actually. And we'd walked up more than halfway, I'd say, at this point. And you go under the railway. And it's just this little loop. You go under the railway and back round, possibly over it, I'm not sure. But as you came under the railway, there was this flat area. And then there was a drop off and behind it. And this view, I mean, we've all experienced views, haven't we? You know, but you know, when it gets you, you go, wow, wow. You know, it was one of those moments. So again, that was a really, and now there's tons of little moments, but those are the three moments that have really made me, I wanted to share those moments because God's amazing. And the heavens declare, Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. That's what creation does sometimes for me and for lots of us. You see, you have those wow moments and you go, wow, God, you're amazing. Okay, so that's my three moments. The other thing is science. I get that not everybody is into science, but the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. And not just the earth, actually, the universe. God made everything and it was good. I've just paraphrased the first two chapters of Genesis there. God made everything and it was good. And it's good because God's good at making things. And so when you do science, science is all about learning how God did things. And again, around this time that I was talking about when I was in the woods and had that amazing moment, Paul and I were all doing Youth Alpha with our youth here. And it was a video thing, when videos were the thing, and Blockbusters were still open. We used to go to Blockbusters to hire the videos. There's a film with Jodie Foster in it, and she's a stargazer. What are they called, those scientists? Astronomer, thank you. She's an astronomer. And the film starts with a person, I think, and it zooms out to see the city they're in, and then it zooms out to see the planet, and then it zooms out to see the solar system, and then it zooms out to see the whole galaxy, and then it zooms out to see multiple galaxies, and it just keeps zooming out and out and out faster and faster until it zooms so far out it's somebody's eye. It's an iris. It all looks like an iris, the way it's done. And it's like, oh, it's just so amazing. It just expresses the magnitude of creation and therefore the magnitude of God. That's what it does for me anyway. So the heavens declare the glory of God. The earth is the Lord of it and everything in it. Your works are wonderful to me. This is Psalm 139. Your works are wonderful to me. And later in that psalm it says, your thoughts are too vast for my understanding. The other thing you get with science is that zooming in and to little things. And so when you're learning how the body works, it's amazing. Did anyone watch The Fast Show in the 90s? No, you're wrong generation. There was this character who was always walking somewhere, and he was a geezer, and he... and he's a geezer. And anyway, his whole clip, the whole time, every week he was on, it was, Aunt such and such, amazing. I remember the one, Aunt Mum's amazing, right? And he goes on and on about how amazing things are. Sorry, I'm going, oh... The point was, creation, bodies, amazing. The first time I saw a frog being dissected, I was amazed because it was so tidy. It was all so clever. The way it was put together, it all had its little things and it was all kept in place. Whereas we normally see squished frogs, don't we? On the, you know, because some of these, yeah. Or I've seen a lot of squished hedgehogs. Recently, I saw a squished hedgehog. You're not going to enjoy this, but I'm going to say it anyway. I saw a squished hedgehog, and its intestines had gone 2 meters out of its body. I was like, wow, good effort. Sorry. But when you learn anatomy, it's amazing the way it all fits together and works. There's no space left over, you know. Everything has its ligaments holding it in place. Everything's connected to everything. The same with, again, when you go into chemistry and like cell biology. and cell membranes. You know, they're so small, and they have little, even smaller things in them that do things. It's amazing. I don't know, that's as much as I know about cell biology, but it's amazing. So again, when learning about creation, again, you just go, wow, you're amazing, God. And I forgot, I didn't put this verse up here, but Matthew 10, verse 29 to 31. Oh, let me get it actually up, because it's awesome. Jesus was speaking. Too far. 29. Okay, verse 29. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside of your Father's care. God cares about creation as well, you know? So as well as being awesome, and the awesomeness, again, I've got up there Job 38:8, because that was one of those Bible verses that when you read it goes, yeah, wow. I'll read that in a minute as well. But this is the intimacy. So creation speaks to me of God's awesomeness and his intimacy, because he can make planets and solar systems and galaxies, but he also makes our cell membranes. And then it says, as well as not only, no sparrow falls to the ground without our Father's care. And even the very hairs on your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth much more than sparrows. I know Dad say it's a lot easier to number the hairs on some people's heads, isn't it, than others? Yeah, we know. But God is amazing. He can do it on anyone's hair. But this is one of those how much mores to me. It's not actually how much more, but it is very much more. You could almost put, don't be afraid, you are worth so much more than sparrows. And God cares about the sparrows. How much more does he care about you? So I am talking too long, aren't I? Let's just go to the last slide, make sure I haven't missed anything. Oh, yes, okay, so I will not read that other Bible verse. You know it, you can read it yourself. I thought it was worth talking, when talking about the spiritual pathways, worth talking about how it can go wrong as well. So it can go wrong because we can start worshipping the creation and not the creator. I think everyone's heard of that before. But I think also it can go wrong when you are seeking solitude too much. It can become a hiding place. Now, it's good to have some solitude. God is all for rest and being with him in peace and quiet and solitude. All those things are really good. And in fact, I was at a talk about Christian retreat once and about how good that is. And what's the balance we need to strike? God made that numerical for us. It's 1 in 7, you know, in terms of rest, not isolation, but rest. You know, it should be 1 day in 7 that we rest. How can it go right? When it goes right, we connect with God. We get rest and renewing. We are aware of his provision and his destruction. I didn't put in there about Ecclesiastes. We don't talk about Ecclesiastes enough, but there is a time for everything, a time for living and a time for dying. And I feel, again, like creation teaches us that, you know. The awesomeness of God and his intimacy. That's me.